Hello, I'm Sheldon Shalley, psychotherapist, shamanic practitioner, and the author of the book, The Other Man in Me.
And I'm Bertha Eddington, podcast producer. And we both welcome you to this groundbreaking podcast, Spirituality and Sexuality, The Hidden Connection. So Sheldon, where is our journey on this topic going to take us today?
Well, today, Bertha, we're going to continue to talk about this concept of the shadow and the shadow as a spiritual call, and hopefully continue to learn to be unafraid of what I might call our sexual shadow.
I think that learning to be unafraid of our sexual shadows and embrace our sexual identities and desires and allow others to embrace theirs without judgment would be such a huge relief and blessing for everybody in the world right now. It would be so nice to have everybody just stop arguing about it and accept ourselves and each other for the way that we are. So I thank you, Sheldon. So let's go for it.
Well, Bertha, I couldn't agree more. Let's start here. I'm dreaming that the house is complete. We are all moved in and everything is lovely. Yeah, it's not quite as royal as in some of the houses I've dreamed about, but it's lovely. The house is up on a hill overlooking a lake. My wife and I are in the front area of this house where all the windows are. There's a generally good feeling. A man calls at the door. He's a dark, shadowy figure. I invite him in to stay the night. He says he needs some place to stay. Now, as mentioned in a previous podcast, dreams reveal the unconscious aspects living in the soul for the purpose of integrating them into our lives. So this dream ushers in the shadow. The shadow refers to the dark, feared, unwanted, and often unknown parts of ourselves, those qualities that, for some reason, we could not make a part of us. They didn't fit into the ideal image we had for ourselves or the image that others had for us, such as our parents or society, peer groups, or even religious trainings. Thus, these aspects became rejected, repressed.
Yeah, I think we can all relate to that, having been repressed, whether we do it to ourselves or whether it's done to us, even unconsciously by our community members or our parents. And I think especially, obviously it happens in our youth and carries on. But now that we're adults and in charge of our own lives, how can we start moving past these repressions?
Well, as we develop, we tend to identify with those qualities that are acceptable to our family or in the environment in which we are raised, and reject all those qualities that contradict or oppose this ideal self. However, these rejected qualities don't cease to exist, but continue to live on in the unconscious, where they form kind of a secondary personality that we come in psychology to call a shadow. A man's shadow consists of rejected masculine qualities. And although we tend to think of these in negative terms, the shadow actually contains many vital qualities of unlived life that, if we relate to those in appropriate ways, can really enhance one's life.
Well, can you give us an example of how this realization showed itself to you?
Yes, I had a dream during a meditative experience wherein I was told to listen to my dreams, for God would be speaking to me through them. I often refer to this experience as my transformation experience, for it left me with a greater sense of power available through God and a certain kind of boldness that I had never had before. As a result, I became an advocate for the transforming power of God. I took on the role of a sort of a lay minister, praying for people, for their healing and deliverance, for whatever ailed them. I was the music director at the church and took on the responsibility of the music for the worship services, leading the choir, arranging music. All this was very fulfilling and provided a source of purpose, personal validation, and creativity, which resulted in a lot of positive mirroring and ego satisfaction for that shy, introverted boy of my childhood. Mm-hmm. In many ways, my life in church music had become a piece of the image that I presented to the world, a piece of my persona, so to speak. This was an image with my ego had identified. And in fact, I had actually taken on the life of my father and my grandfather, who were both ministers in the church. One of my brothers was a missionary in Africa. Another brother had become an ordained minister before following his interest in psychology and becoming a psychologist. I even married a minister's daughter.
Wow, I don't think you could get much more deeply involved in that. I'm assuming it was a Christian faith and where you were involved with all these levels of it. You were very well steeped in your family's lifestyle and expectations, I'm sure.
Well, that's true. And these deep unconscious patterns, these archetypes, emerge from our families of origin, from the culture, from religion, and from life itself. In fact, observation would suggest that certain families live out certain archetypal patterns. Mm. Now, simply put, an archetype is a typical and universal pattern or model of behavior or expression. So there are families who are bankers, families who are caregivers, politicians, priests and ministers, families who are artists and craftsmen, just to name a few. So the archetypes of the priest, minister, and teacher are predominant archetypes in my family system, going back 3 generations at least, both of which I too was living out. It seems to me that these archetypal patterns will both pull us and even push us into circumstances, situations, and relationships that create the potential for them to live out their energetic patterns.
That's fascinating, and I can certainly see what you mean. So can you share with us how you began to reach beyond that family archetype, if you will?
Well, my transformation experience in 1978 had ushered in an identification with the priest-minister archetype that lived in my family system. However, I was finding that I couldn't maintain that image or role. Now, from the vantage point of today, I can certainly see the value and the importance of religion and even of the institutional church. I can also see the importance and value of those who are called to spend their lives serving such institutions. However, at the time, the struggle I was in was just too much to maintain that life that required me to fit into that very system because of what was emerging in my own spiritual journey. So to maintain this image, I had to deny more and more of who I was discovering that I was, more and more of the truth that was living in my own soul. I was coming to believe that the infallibility of the biblical scriptures was just untenable for me. Rather, I was discovering that the divine, this other that I longed for, actually lived in the depths of my own soul and revealed himself or herself by direct encounters through my dreams. I was also coming to understand that same-sex desires and attractions, even same-sex love, was not something evil or sinful that I needed God's forgiveness for or redemption for. Rather, it was a relationship that needed to be embraced, loved, and understood. My transformation experience had not healed or taken away my same-sex attractions. Rather, it had begun to open me up to the acceptance of and even the embracing of them as a vital and important part of who I was. As these opposing thoughts and energies gained strength, the shadow self began to break through in my dreams. Or perhaps it was because the shadow elements were appearing in my dreams that I became more and more aware of the qualities and impulses that were in opposition to the life that I was living.
So how do your transformative experiences that you just described and the dream you related earlier connect to each other?
Well, in the above dream, the house is complete, suggesting that I had done sufficient inner work over the past 2 years by my reading, my studying, and my tracking and working with my dreams. And that was, I was in a place where I could now meet and embrace my shadow, I might mention here that houses in dreams often represent or symbolize our inner world, our psychic structure. So opening the door and letting in this dark, shadowy figure into this house suggested that I was open now to meeting and giving space to this other in me. All those parts of myself that I had rejected, repressed, ignored, refused to let live, and in some cases, didn't even know existed. They were now beginning to stir in me and demand recognition and relationship. Now, this dream said the man needed a place to stay. Also, the fact that the dream said this house was not as royal as other houses had been in my dreams, but was lovely and exhibited a generally good feeling, suggested that the grandiosity and the inflation that had been present immediately following my transformation experience was lessening, and I was becoming more comfortable with who I really was, with myself. The presence of my wife in this house dream and that we were standing together suggested the continuing evolution and commitment to our relationship, a shift in my relationship to her, as well as an improved relationship with the inner masculine and feminine energies, and as an improved relationship between the conscious and the unconscious.
Wow, what a fascinating journey, and what a beautiful evolution to a greater harmony with yourself and your world. So how, then that's just such a fascinating story, sorry. How do we watch for our shadows and learn from them?
Well, the shadow tends to show up in dreams being the same sex as the dreamer. And as stated, is often a shadowy, unknown, unappealing, despised, feared, or inferior figure. He or she, in the case of a woman, may also take the forms of same-sex encounters in dreams or spontaneous same-sex fantasies and attractions, even pulling us into sexual relationships in outer reality. We also project the shadow onto persons we know but can't stand, or who behave in ways that we would never behave, or in the positive side, they might even be people we project our idealized feelings on, we would like to be like but can't allow ourselves to be. Such projections result in either negative feelings and conflicts or in an over-idealization of these persons. This denied, repressed, rejected masculine energy would show up in me over and over again, various places, various guises, seeking acceptance and relationship, increasing the tension between my inner and outer worlds.
Wow, what a personal struggle that must have been. And as always, I applaud your self-awareness and your willingness to look inside first and then your willingness to share it with everyone as well. So can you give us another example of this shadow struggle in your spirit and your life?
Certainly. In another dream, I dream of a man, let's call him Terry. He's riding in an airplane. He falls out. I'm observing all this. When I see him on the ground, his eyes and ears are bandaged, but he's alive, for which I am both surprised and relieved. He's put into an ambulance. My daughter and I are following him, airborne behind the ambulance. My daughter wants to see if it really is Terry, so we zoom up real close and zero in. Sure enough, it's him. Suddenly, the ambulance starts backing up fast and pulls off to the right and stops along the side of the road. Terry gets out. His eyes are no longer bandaged. I now actually enter into the dream and go over to him, put my hands on him and say, "It's going to be all right." He takes my hand and feebly says, "I want to make my peace with God." I put my arms around him, draw him close, and pray a simple prayer of reconciliation. I hear him feebly praying after me. I then continue praying and ask God to heal him.
Well, that's a fascinating, vivid dream, but what the heck does it mean?
Yeah, well, the airborne airplane symbolized for me my ego's inflated and elevated status, which I was enjoying in the church from my newly found power. I was, quote, flying high, so to speak, since my January transformation experience. However, hidden in this ego consciousness was the shadow, the opposite of that Bible reading, church going, praying, meditating, power of God, testifying kind of guy, who no longer able to contain this elevated and inflated attitude and position, fell to earth, bringing me back to the reality of my unconscious situation. I am not as I appear. What I say is opposite of what I mean. I fell back to earth and set in motion the reconciliation and healing of the ego in the shadow, this other man in me, as the end of the dream suggested. Even today, I can remember the feeling of that moment as I embraced this other man in me, pulling him to myself, reconciling me to him and to God. You know, as Thich Nhat Hanh says, the first person you must reconcile with is yourself. The rest is just a matter of time.
Yeah, very wise words indeed. So if this was the beginning, then gosh, how did the revelation process proceed on?
Well, I call this dream the fall, as it ushered in a series of dreams over the next several months that ultimately resulted in my resigning my position as director of music in the church and eventually actually leaving the church. Many saw this as my fall from grace, saying such things as, Sheldon is living his dark side. But the dream set me on a path of self-discovery, on a path to discovering the divine within and on the hero's path of my soul's journey. This path would involve leaving my parents' home and actually leaving the parsonage consciousness, and actually entailed a radical transformation of conventional attitudes. This journey would become the working out and manifestation of the admonition of that voice I heard that January morning in 1978, listen to your dreams, for I will speak to you through them. This was the call of what I came to understand as the hero's journey, which we will explore in the next podcast.
That's just fascinating. And of course, the hero's journey is classic. And I look forward to our exploration of the hero's journey. And I want to thank you, Sheldon, sincerely, for helping us all to better understand and accept each other. That is the purpose of this podcast. And we hope everyone takes it in that spirit. And if you found this podcast interesting, our podcast, Spirituality and Sexuality, The Hidden Connection, please subscribe to it on your favorite podcast channel, share it with your friends, and like us. And we appreciate you joining us on this journey as we reach out to provide validation and deeper understanding of modern sexual and spiritual expression.
Yes, thank you all, and please join us next time.